The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Taco Tuesday edition, Dom. Because I'm in Milwaukee, it's Tuesday.
Yes, you gotta go to Kampali. Good to see you, Crudy. Thank you, Rich, working the board, doing the sound. Vice President Harris in West Dallas, near Milwaukee today. The reason for the season, and Wisconsin is fired up.
Now, President Joe Biden will address the nation tomorrow from the Oval Office. That'll be a story we'll cover tomorrow.
Well, probably before 8 o'clock. I hear that's his bedtime.
I hear he gets a few more hours sleep these days.
I bet he does. And now he can actually spend time governing instead of campaigning.
And as I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, Dom, as I entered the Vice President Kamala Harris rally, taking on a whole new gravity, as I'm going through the security checkpoint, the Secret Service checkpoint, if you will, my phone lit up. Oh, the Secret Service Director has resigned today.
Yeah, that's good. She should have resigned. She did the right thing.
Well, the Secret Service was also at perimeter command at the event I was at in real time, man. I didn't want to change in leadership, you know, while the event was going on.
You think anything's going to change? Did you ask anybody? Like, hey, your boss just resigned.
No.
Let me through.
I saw something, so I said something actually to Secret Service today. Someone was trying to sneak in under the guise of working at Civic Media.
Oh, really?
And I was approached and I said, that is not true. And I said, that is not true to Secret Service. And then the guy looked at me and they were actually canine guys. I'm like, I know you're not the right ones to tell, but I apologize because, you know, see something, say something. Someone is imposturing around here. So anyways, they said, well, I wouldn't worry about it. We closed the door to press like an hour ago. He ain't getting in. But I did. And the vice president spoke today in Milwaukee. We're going to play you the highlights in just a minute, Dom. I guess those are the big ones. Oh, yes. Robert Menendez, the Democratic senator from the great state of New Jersey, has announced he will depart the U.S. Senate.
Oh, the guy that was convicted is going to resign from his political seat. That's interesting.
August 20th. In a relatively timely fashion, Dom.
So no arguments about lawfare or the, you know, crooked FBI or the crooked DOJ. Or
victimhood.
None of that? No? No.
In the initial 24 hours, Menendez was playing the victim card a bit, but subsequently, Democrats usually do the right thing. Look at the fine example Joe Biden set, stepping down, resigning. First, it was Scott Roth from the Ethics Commission. Then it was Joe Biden from the presidency. And now it's
from the campaign. From the he will Senate. Serve out his term. He's not resigning from the presidency. Right.
I've overstated. My apologies. Don't want to give any, any
breaking news. No.
Food
no,
to
no.
the conspiracy right. the righties are weaving currently. But should we get to the Vice yeah, President. Let's
do it. And also, a Reuters Ipsos poll has Kamala Harris up 44 to 42. Margin
head
of
head
error
against Trump
is 3%, and she's actually does better when you throw crazy ass Kennedy in the mix.
Yeah, then she's outside the margin of error, winning by 4 against Trump, right?
4 or 5, yeah.
So, Kamala Harris, I got to tell you, as she came to the stage, about a 90-second ovation. I mean, it was long. It was loud. It was loud in that room, as fired up as I've seen any political rally, maybe dating back to Obama. But let's start with this sound. Gonna need your help here, Rich. Let's play cut one. Kamala Harris in Milwaukee.
Our state campaign headquarters are in this city. Yes. And that there is a reason for that. The path to the White House goes through Wisconsin. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Now, this was the first time the vice president had spoken publicly. Well, I guess a brief statement she made yesterday in Delaware as she was meeting with the campaign staff. But first speech, and she did announce effectively from the stage that she had acquired the prerequisite number of delegates to become
your candidate,
the Democratic nominee for the president of the United States. Here she is, Kamala Harris, cut two.
Wisconsin, I am told as of this morning that we have earned the support of enough delegates to secure the Democratic nomination.
I mean, what a fired up crowd.
They were indeed. Now, more from Kamala Harris talking about uniting the Democratic Party. And I think so far, every indication I've seen, one minor protest at the event, but every other indication I've seen is they are fired up and they're ready to unify. The Democratic Party is unified in its support for our nominee, Kamala Harris, plate for the people.
I am so very honored, and I pledge to you, I will spend the coming weeks continuing to unite our party so that we are ready to win in November.
Rudy, the Democratic Party is in array.
They got their ducks lined up. I've never seen it come from disarray to array in such a short period of time.
And it's always been the joke, you know, herding cats, or, you know, pick your words. And to see the people fired up like this is it's really energetic, man. It is legitimately energizing. And what's this feeling? It's like hope. Is that what that is?
Hope from change, Dom. Hope from change.
I'm not sure. I kind of feel good.
You know, I talked to lots of rally attendees today, including our friend Keith and, you know, some public officials, some electeds. I didn't talk to anyone that had any sort of mixed feelings, any reservations.
Would you show up to the rally if you did?
Sure, if you're curious.
Come on.
You work in the industry.
Well, yeah, we're asking press members? No, man, they're just doing the job.
Sure, I talked to some of the press, but no, man, I don't sit in the press pen the whole time.
This is what I'm saying,
man. I had
like
3 hours to kill, dude. I talked to anybody that would talk back.
And even those that won't. Leave me alone.
The only minor protest, and it was one guy who effectively was complaining about Gaza.
Sure.
And he was no more than 30 feet away from me, and he called it out from 150 feet away from the vice president. And he didn't get drowned out with USA, USA, or yeah, they didn't really do that. He kind of respectfully put his mask on and then awaited escorting from the gymnasium, which he seemingly did without incident. But I would say that was it. That was the only blip, and it was so inconsequential. I'm not even sure that anyone other than a few in the press row sitting right on the edge
even know that
he was talking about Gaza. Otherwise, it was just, there were more people kind of fainting from the excitement, the energy in the room, and perhaps the heat and, you know, the closeness of the quarters. There were a few medical things, no one too serious, as I noted. But I think if you were looking from the other side of the room, you'd think, oh, someone else needs a little medical attention.
844-967-2789. Vice President Harris, her first rally ever as the presidential candidate, and certainly here in Wisconsin, putting her record up against Trump. Rich, let's play cut number four, please.
I will proudly put my record against his any day of the week.
I'm pretty sure she mentioned that after detailing how she went after fraudsters and perpetrators, sexual abusers, during her course of prosecuting those, what, those types. She knows his type.
And I believe that's about the time the audience of their own volition started chanting, lock him up, lock him up, lock him up. It felt good to be on the other side of that chant for once. I didn't feel like I could do it in press row, you know, like other working journalists around me.
Yes, indeed.
But I shared the sentiment, my heart, well, my
he has been gut. Convicted of 34 felonies. He does have sentencing coming. A prison sentence is possible. Let's hear some more from the vice president, soon to be president, question mark, cut number 5, please, Rich.
The shoulders on which we stand, generations of Americans before us led the fight for freedom. And now, Wisconsin, the baton is in our hands.
Yeah, Biden passed the baton. It is in your hands, sister. Run!
Well, not just hers, everyone there. She made it clear. It's going to take an effort. There's a long way to go. Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to work? A lot of work to do. I've got a few more from the vice president. Who we fight for, cut number 6.
This campaign is not just about us versus Donald Trump. This campaign is about who we fight for.
Yeah. I really appreciated her presentation, the way she spoke. She got fired up at times, but she also, you know, recognized the gravity of it, talked about some very serious issues. Who we fight for in slower tones, and I just thought it was well delivered, and it came across as genuine, man.
Well, she absolutely showed a little personality. I mean, the moment, the gravity of the moment, this first speech, this first address to the public since becoming the president nominee, as she told you, she won the nomination. She was fired up. I think the entire crowd was fired up. Trudy was fired up. If you were in that crowd amongst the 4-4-9-6-7-2-7-8-9 or Devils Advocates on the other side, live from Milwaukee, because Kamala Harris is in town and she's going to be the next.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
There's no holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the...
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open, talk or text, 844-967-2789. Stick around, our pal Scott Ross. He's a firebrand. He's a Gemini. He is Mr. Ethics. He's going to join us at 4:30.
Now, Dominic, Kamala Harris speaking in Milwaukee today, hence my being here with you in the broadcast bunker. And I see there are a few Republicans, at least publicly, resisting the temptation to call her a DEI hire. But I've heard it. There are some that are not resisting.
Glenn Grossman.
Yes, Glenn Grossman, congressman from Wisconsin 6 CD. He went there. Of course he did. And it's crazy that J.D. Vance, by comparison, in his Meet the Public speech, not the one at the RNC, but the one in his hometown in Middletown, Ohio, he went on a racially charged Mountain Dew rant.
I didn't know you could racially charge Mountain Dew. So how did that work?
Well, effectively, and here is how it's being described. J.D. Vance spends weird, low-energy speech praising Diet Mountain Dew. Trump's vice presidential pick went off on a bizarre tangent.
Yeah.
About diet soda during a rally. So, anyways, here's what he said. It's the weirdest thing to me. Democrats say that it's racist to believe Well, they say it's racist to do anything. I had a Diet Mountain Dew yesterday and one today. I'm pretty sure they'll probably going to call that racist too. Around the room, there was some scattered laughs. It's good, he said, after a beat, drawing more polite laughter from the rally attendees. Vance let out his own breathy laugh at his comment, slapping the podium in front of him. I love you guys, he said, smiling and laughing. And Vance's weak swing at a joke landed as a lazy attempt to score some culture war points. And that wasn't the only cringy moment during his time on stage.
Oh, I'm sure.
And while there was a lot of laughter throughout Vance's 40-minute speech, much of it appeared to come from him. There were times where he, like, interrupted himself to the point where I thought he was going to give up on the speech, mid-speech. It was horrible.
So his point, his joke is that, what, Democrats say everything is racist?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Like,
and drinking, and I frequently drink the Diet Dew, so, you know, apparently that's the text line. Be racist.
Drinking a Diet Dew is not racist. No, drinking a Diet Dew, you know, surrounded by Nazi and Confederate flag items, and then, you know, it's not the Dew itself, it's the rest of it. Okay, well, never need to hear from J.D. Vance again. Thanks for that. Let's hear some more of presidential candidate Kamala Harris.
She's so much better in contrast.
Oh, my God. Kamala in West Dallas / Milwaukee today. Crudy was in the room. Harris, not going back.
Rich. Standing room only, 4,000 plus.
Number 7, please.
America has tried these failed economic policies before. But we are not going back. We are not going back.
We are not going back. Sorry about that, Kamala. We are not going back. I mean, what is the answer for everything from the Republicans?
Glenn Grothman literally wanted to go back to the 1960s.
Ah, the great time. Great, great days. Good times. Good times for interracial marriage and those women getting their own credit cards, no fault divorce, and now guys like Glenn can't get a spouse.
What J.D. Vance say in 2021? We played it the other day. Something about, you know, better for the kids for the women to be stuck in those abusive relationships.
Yes, yeah, that's how it is. That's
sure better for the women to be let out, but what about the future generations?
I mean, unbelievable. And specifically the economic policies of the Republicans. It is the cure-all. It is the elixir for all that ails. Crudy, you got a sore back? You need to rub some tax cut on there, Crudy. Oh, your car's not working right? You need to take it for a new tax cut. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness, the GDP is not high enough. Oh, we need more tax cuts. It's all tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts. And then they're wondering why with a decrease in revenue, because, of course, tax cuts, why the debt would continue to grow. And let's remind everyone what Donald Trump added, what, $8 trillion to the national debt?
Dom, one of the more poignant moments in this crowd of blue faithful, and they were fired up as any rally crowd I've seen in 10 years or more, the topic of abortion and women's autonomy over their own body. And you can tell me whatever you want, but that is certainly an economic issue as well. If you don't have control over whether or not you have babies, you have no control over your own economy.
Well, kids are kind of expensive.
My personal experience is they're too damn expensive. I'd throw a couple of those kids back if I could at this point. Let's hear it from the Vice President, Kamala Harris, in Milwaukee today. Her first speech since becoming the nominee of the Democratic Party for president. Cut 8, please.
We'll stop Donald Trump's extreme abortion bans because we trust women to make decisions about their own body and not have their government tell them what to do.
Wow.
And one more from Kamala Harris, a very fired up crowd. This speech, not overly long, maybe 20 minutes, but here's the last one we've got for you. Cut 9, please.
Do we want to live in a country of freedom, compassion, and rule of law? Or a country of chaos, fear, and hate? And here's the beauty of this moment. We each have the power to answer that question.
Certainly in the state of Wisconsin, we have outsized impact on the outcome for the entire nation. We are the swingest of swing states, and that's why the VP was here today. No time for Tony.
Oh, we got a little time for Tony.
Can we sneak Tony in here, Rich? Let's play Tony Evers. He's fired up. But he's drinking some Mountain Dew.
Cut 10.
You know, guys, you know me. And I don't get wound up about much. But on the Tony Evers excitement scale that goes from holy mackerel and maxes out at heck yes, I am jazzed as hell to be welcoming our next Democratic nominee to Wisconsin Vice President Kamala Harris.
Tony did not do the jazz hands, but he was jazzed
holy
as hell.
Holy mackerel, heck yes, and jazzed as hell. We are jazzed as hell.
Scott Ross joins us next. He's a firebrand. He's a Twitter troll. He's a friend of ours.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Taco Tuesday edition. The VP, Kamala Harris, in Milwaukee, giving her very first speech. She is the presumptive Democratic nominee. She made a statement to that effect from the stage in Milwaukee today.
And she has the delegates.
She has the delegates, and she had the love and adoration of the crowd in West Dallas at Central High School today. We got a friend right now. He joins us live via phone. He is Scott Ross. He's firebrand. He's a trash text and Gemini. How you doing, Scott? Welcome back.
Hey, Scott.
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Awesome. Fired up, man.
Buddy, I don't know if I can keep up with the political cycles. They've started moving at warp speed, Scotty.
Yeah, I, on Sunday when the TV studio, we were observing that, like, an October surprise for this election is going to have to be aliens landing, you know, in Kansas or something.
Right. Scott Ross, last week, I know you were working your ass off, doing a lot of hits from the RNC. And at the RNC last week, I was under the impression that the Republican Party basically unified behind their candidate, behind their vice presidential pick. And I thought they had, you know, until Trump spoke, I thought they had a pretty good convention. And I thought it was the Democratic Party in disarray. Now, Scott, I see you texting out, tweeting out, the Dems are in array. What a quick turn of events, sir.
Yeah, it has been a sort of whirlwind, 96 hours. I mean, you know, all the talk for so long was whether or not, based on Biden's performance, you know, the president's performance, he was going to be able to continue his campaign. It turned out he put country first, made the decision that he couldn't win, and decided to pass the torch to a new generation, Gen Xer Kamala Harris. And I could not be more excited by the prospect of that, you know, after all these these many years, you know, the boomers have been in charge of the White House from 1993 to 2017. And then we had a guy who was just a little too old to be a boomer for the last 4 years. Maybe it is finally our time. In fact, I know that it's going to be our time because Trump is going down. Kamala Harris is going to smoke him like yesterday's meat.
Scott Ross, our friend, firebrand, Gemini, Mr. Ethics, the contrast between Trump and now Harris is amazing. It's no longer, you know, two old white men. It's the prosecutor versus the convicted felon. And of course it's the Democratic philosophy versus the mega authoritarianism. It's women's right to choose versus forced government birthing. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But the selfless act of Joe Biden, man, I got to tell you, that really struck me. It seems so super rare these days for a politician to actually do that. How does that contrast or compare to what you saw at the RNC last week, Scott?
Well, yeah, first of all, yeah. I mean, I think we all, you know, owe Joe Biden a debt of gratitude, not just for his selfless act this weekend, but for really, you know, 51 years of public service you know, and always, you know, you didn't have to always agree with the guy, but you always knew that he was trying to do the right thing. You know, he was always one of those politicians, one of those elected officials that you thought was trying to do the right thing and that was willing to hear you out and hear all cases and then make the best decision he thought he could make. And, you know, there's a lot, you know, we're seeing the last of those, I think, unfortunately. Yeah. So, you know, yay for Joe Biden. Let's just say that we need to give him his due. But yeah, I mean, the Republican convention, like I was in broadcast row, which was over in the Panther Arena.
It's
a different universe. I mean, it was a literal different universe. Some of the things that I heard, outlets, you know, it was festooned with outlets I had never heard of before. I saw people who were like being talked of as these wonderful, you know, leaders who I had no idea who they were. I did this for PBS Wisconsin and their Democratic pundit. And I was sitting there the one morning and there were these four clowns talking about how trans surgery is because Dems want to be able to harvest those parts because they're, you know, worth a lot of money. I mean, it was sickness, you know? And again, the Republicans promised us unity. That was what we came out of the attempted shooting of Donald Trump, was that it was time for us to come together, right? And by the second speaker, they were attacking Democrats with the ferocity of a thousand suns. And again, you heard things like that clown Ron Johnson, you know, despite his teleprompter mishap, just the things he says, you know, over and over again, the divide, the division, the hate, you know, the big, I was inside of Pfizer Forum for the second two nights. And a couple things. One was that on the night Trump was there, you know, he went on and on and on. And his remarks were like the, you know, the announcement speech version of Biden's debate performance. But they'd lulled, you know, the last third was just a lull, and he attacks trans people and the place erupts, you know, in joy. And it was just So I mean, again, alternative worlds, alternative universes. You know, Joe Biden saved democracy in 2020, and he's been trying to save America ever since. And I think he did a good solid for America by doing this now, so that we can make sure that we get, you know, keep a Democrat in the presidency, and most importantly, keep Donald Trump out of the White House.
Our fine guest, Scott Ross. Scott, he also threw a hell of a curveball. I mean, strategically, Joe Biden just stole Trump's RNC bump, all the goodwill that might have been imparted on J.D. Vance as a new candidate. And quite frankly, I got to give it to Joe, not just the statesman Joe Biden, but the stick it to Trump Joe Biden. I think that was somewhat masterful.
We call that a tactician. yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful. I mean, you already see the knives are out. You know, there's all this talk of the knives are out for J.D. Vance already, that Trump made the wrong decision. Yeah, you know, maybe, you know, picking a guy, excuse me, there's some siren here, but picking the guy who was 1 year in the U.S. Senate after Peter Thiel bottomed that seat with $15 million check, the largest Senate gift in American history. And you know, before that, he was an author of a book that, like, you know, is a blueprint for hypocrisy. Yeah, maybe that wasn't the right guy to get, you know?
Well,
but again, Trump, it's all about the money for Trump. Like Peter Thiel and Elon Musk, you know, wanted J.D. Vance to be the VP. J.D. Vance is the VP.
Scott Ross, I understand the Republicans would like to abort J.D. Vance as the vice presidential pick. But unfortunately, they're going to have to carry him to term, sir.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, they don't quite have a morning after the morning pill. So no dice. You're stuck with JD for now.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate.
Hey, listen. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Scott. Go nuts, man. It's your day.
No, I saw from the airport, Glenn Grossman was auditioning for the vice president's role because he was, you know, saying that the reason Democrats would support Vice President Harris is because of race, you know, in his always eloquent way. And so that seems to be the thing. That's the most consistent talking point that I see out there from the Republicans right now. They make the snide DEI comment. you know, just keep doing that, and you're going to watch yourself not just lose, like, the House and the presidency and your chance to pick up the Senate majority, but you're going to have a healthy Democratic advantage if that's the way you run your campaign this time, I think.
Scott, it has been surprising to the good how quickly the entire Democratic Party is galvanized around Kamala Harris. And while some may say, and I think it's mostly Republicans, well, this is undemocratic, you know, you party elites picked Kamala. No, that is not my impression. I feel like the entire party was ready to embrace Kamala. It certainly showed today in Milwaukee, Scott. Do I get that wrong? Do you think there's holdouts?
No, I mean, you know, that's why you have a running mate. Hello? The reason you have a running mate is because if you can't do the job, then you give the job to your running mate. You know, and the last thing I think anybody on, you know, anybody in America wants to be lectured by is the party of the January 6th terrorist insurrection that cost five officers their lives, injured 140 other law enforcement officers, and tried to undo the results of a democratically decided election. Listen, primaries are different than elections. They're governed by rules. They're not governed by laws. And the fact is that Republicans in 2020, remember this, guys, they kept any name from being on the primary ballot in the Wisconsin electoral primary other than Trump's, because they didn't want anybody, because their leader didn't want to have any votes that didn't go to him. So, like, their crocodile tears can, like, go pound salt as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott Ross, you talked about, you know, the VP. Well, now the VP is the presidential candidate. What's your opinion on what Harris should do regarding her VP pick?
Well, so by the time she picks the VP, it'll be about 80 days, I think, before the election, give or take a few. And so the person who gets it has to just be really good with the press. And they can't have skeletons. Like, it has to, it just has to stay, the focus has to stay on Trump and moving things forward. And so my pick would be Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary. He's a millennial. He's a veteran. He's probably the best speaker that Democrats have, the best attack dog, best speaker outside of President Obama, and the best attack dog they have by hands down. I don't know if you saw his clip against J.D. Vance, but he, like, tore him to pieces with style and comedy for a minute and 43 seconds that, you know, I think Vance is probably still feeling butthurt over that one. And so I think that's the guy, because, again, you need somebody who has dealt with the national media, who can make the attacks. And there's a lot of governors out there they're talking about, which are all good people who could be great presidents. But, you know, there's a difference of dealing with the national media and, you know, moving from the state up to the national media. And I think 80 days is probably not, you know, I don't think on the job training for dealing with the press at that level when the stakes are so high, you know, is the best idea. And I think Pete's a great, you know, I think he's a great guy on top of it. Like, you know, and that's who I support.
Scott Ross, I know you're a bit of a reform partier, but how do you think the DNC party in Chicago will roll out in 3 weeks, sir?
I think the dynamic is going to be a whole lot different than what it was, because I think that I think the media was expecting, like, division and disruption and all that sort of stuff, because, you know, they decided, you know, that the Democrats were weren't unified and such. I don't think you can say that at all anymore. You know, I think this is going to be, like, all about the future, you know, the exciting opportunities of America crossing yet, you know, just, some new fronts that America is crossing. And that's always exciting, you know, first woman president, first black woman president, and hell, first non-baby boomer Gen Xer, man. Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Scott Ross, the first poll is out. The first poll is out, first credible polling since the announcement, and apparently Kamala already has a modest lead over Trump, 44-42. Now the Trump team's already, you know, poo-pooing this rigged polling and all that kind of stuff, calling it a Kamala honeymoon. But do you think the polls have switched that quickly? Do you think Kamala could already be in the lead just based on the early enthusiasm, the $81 million raised in 24 hours, et cetera, Scott?
I mean, I think that the one hang up that people were having about Trump, about Biden for the most part, was the age thing. That's over, you know, and Kamala has, like, all the good stuff of Biden, plus, you know, the intangibles of, like, you know, when she talks about abortion, it's a completely different conversation. When she talks about Trump's 34 felonies, it's a completely different conversation. When she talks about Trump assaulting women, it's a completely different conversation. And that's why I think, you know, and when you talk about the future, with a, you know, with a Gen Xer as opposed to, you know, an 81-year-old, it's a completely different conversation. You know, they put all their ducks that they could just hobble Biden and keep him from getting across the finish line. And he said, peace out. I'll one up you. You know, I'll put country first.
Scott Ross, misogyny, racism, they're a real thing. We got 1 minute left. Can she overcome those things, win Wisconsin, win the blue wall, and win the presidency? Talking about Kamala.
Absolutely. I mean, the two times we've had a black person at the top of the ticket, they've won big both times. I think this will be a third.
Scott Ross, always great to hear from you. Our trash texting Jim and I, friend of the devil's buddy, Scott. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely. You guys take it easy. Great talking to you.
You as well. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Crudy joining Dom in Milwaukee in the broadcast bunker. The occasion, Kamala Harris, her first public speech since becoming the presumptive Democratic nominee. And I got to tell you, Dom, I'm looking forward to the parties at the DNC.
Yeah.
Where they party. It won't just be Grindr lighting up.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to the lines, talk or text, hit us up 844-967-2789.
Thank you to our most recent guest, our friend, trash texting Gemini Scott Ross. You know, he led the nation by stepping down from the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, set the statesman like a example for Joe Biden.
Joe Biden followed him. You can follow him, Ross Across WI on Twitter.
I would wonder, do you believe the Kamala momentum? Is it real? You know, because the right does not believe it, Dom. I heard your girl, Vicky McKenna. First and foremost, she says Kamala is stupid. Oh, and I'm like, have you met the woman? Clearly she is not. But I'm wondering how long this narrative that Kamala is
stupid. Now, when she says stupid, does she mean black?
Well, I mean, draw your own conclusions.
Okay, okay. And was she articulate? I mean, Glenn Grothman does not think Kamala Harris is articulate. This coming from Glenn Grothman.
Come on. Joe Biden called Obama articulate. Although right. I think Glenn's got a worse track record. All things considered, she also, your girl Vicky, Righty Whitey Talk Radio, doesn't believe the massive fundraising haul. Thinks those are rigged numbers. They're all made up.
Yeah.
That couldn't happen.
Well, of course, these are the folks that believe that Donald Trump somehow got the election stolen from him, despite their own Republican investigations, legislative audit bureaus, and recounts. Of course they believe something like that. They got to throw something against the wall. Have you listened to these folks lately?
Yesterday, I'd made a commitment to give some money to the Harris for President campaign. And I got to tell you, I got home and my wife sheepishly made a confession to me. I had already given money to the Harris for President
Congratulations.
Campaign. Congratulations. So, you know, in that I had made a pledge and someone was going to match my pledge. And my wife's a little cheaper than I was going to be. Do I have to then give the differential or do I have to give an entirely different additional pledge?
Well, I mean, it depends. Was it in her name or your name?
It's my money. Our money. Marital property money. Came out of our joint account.
If you're here and I'm here, I think this is our time. Oh, I mean, it matters who gave it. We should probably give it under her name. 844-967-2789.
I wanted to give an amount just slightly above the threshold of disclosure of employment, because I like writing down I'm unemployed.
Gary, our conservative buddy from Sussex, Wisconsin. Welcome, Gary. What are your thoughts on all the goings on these days?
Do you love Kamala like I love Kamala, Gary?
She's my choice. Remember what 3-4 weeks ago I told you what was going to happen at with Joe Biden and Trump on a debate.
Gary. I remember. I think I dismissed you when you said that.
I predict. Well, that's the reason you dismissed me, because you watch MSNBC and they won't show it. I saw all the gaffes that he had. The nation was hiding all of this stuff. Kamala Harris,
you know, but
was hiding
Kamala
all this
is
stuff.
Not a gaffe machine. She is pretty damn smart. And I was impressed by her first speech to the nation today. I was in the room, Gary, and I got to tell you, I've spoken to her before. I've been in press gaggles. The caricature that Vicky McKenna's been giving you ain't going to hold up. She's anything but dumb.
Vicky. I don't listen to Vicky. I listen to you guys all day. I don't listen to conservative radio at all. Now, the thing is this. If you want to describe what a school bus looks like at Yellow, do you ever listen to it tell us how wonderful Yellow school buses are? Or when she went out there and said, did you know that it wasn't until 2022 that they didn't have any women's brackets in the NCAA for women? You know, which is not right. It's 1994.
Tell me about the late, great Hannibal Lecter, and then we can talk about women's basketball.
Come on, man. You
want to
talk about the windmills that cause cancer, Covfefe, Gary? Really?
No.
Come on, man. Let me ask you an honest question. Do you think that she has a better chance against your guy, Trump, than Biden does? Did?
I think that she has it was a lock for Trump with Biden in office. Okay, and that's – everybody knew that, okay? With Kamala, at least it's going to be a fair fight.
Kamala, and your guy's going to lose.
No. Kamala is the perfect pick. We, as Republicans, are so excited because I cannot wait until the debates happen. But this is what I believe is going to happen. Let me just predict it, and you guys can disagree. I believe that she's the chosen one right now up until they find out that she's not really qualified to be the president of the United States. She hasn't done anything.
Says you, Gary. She was the attorney general of California. She was the vice president. She was served on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Gary,
let me finish what I'm going to say.
But you're saying asinine things, Gary. I'm sorry.
No, it's not asinine. Just think.
Hang on. It is asinine. You say she's not qualified, Gary. How was Donald Trump qualified? He was a carnival barker on a reality TV show after inheriting $400 or $500 million from his old man. How does that qualify one any more or less than Kamala Harris?
Let me just finish what I'm going to say, and then if
you can answer the question, that's your finishing.
Okay, I'm just
no. Answer the question, Gary. You're losing me, man.
All right. Okay.
How is Trump any more qualified than Kamala Harris?
Because he was president of the United States for 4 years.
Before he was president,
he built buildings. He inherited it from his father and made it 10 times bigger than
what a qualification.
Yeah, well,
what track
done.
Record.
Well, what do they call those kids that
nepo babies?
Yeah, that's what it was. Come on, Gary, you can't possibly. And this is California, and I know you're a business guy, so let me put it in perspective. California has the world's fifth largest economy. She won multiple statewide elections in the country or in the state. The state of California.
I built many big, powerful hotels. Did you see the one in D.C.?
She was
Attorney
General
about
for
it?
California. She was a senator for California. She was
Trump
on the ticket.
Steaks, Trump
she was
vodka.
Vice president.
Trump Airlines.
Come on.
There's a whole litany of failed businesses I could run down in my Trump voice. But we'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Crudy in Milwaukee, a happier, happy hour indeed.